Praise the Lord. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because of thy word that brings light to us at every time that we open the word or we speak it or we hear it. It brings light to our hearts and it gives us knowledge in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you tonight that the Holy Spirit will reveal this word in our hearts and let your will be done and glorify yourself and teach us, O Lord, what you will have us know. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now, I am going to speak on and teach a little bit about evangelism and back to the Bible pattern. There was a pattern that they used in the Bible, and we're going to go to that pattern and see how it was done in the Bible. And yeah, but I'm going to lay a foundation and so forth like that. I may not get to all of that tonight. You know, continue tomorrow night. I don't want to keep everybody very long tonight because I know you, some of you went to work and so forth. And but I'm going to start off by saying evangelism and soul winning into the kingdom of God should be priority number one. I mean, not the last thing, but it should be the first thing. And I'm going to lay down some principles and some things and, you know, what it's all about and so forth like that, you know, why we should do it and what we should be doing and so on. And then we're going to also show some practical ways of how to do it based on the way they did it in the Bible in those days, in the early church, how they did it. And, you know, we're going to find out what works and what doesn't work and so forth like that. And so we'll begin here tonight on the subject of evangelism, back to the Bible pattern. And we want to make it priority number one in our lives. Because, you know, Jesus himself, you know, he made it very clear. And we, you know, we preached about that, you know, last Sunday and 2 Sundays ago in the church here. And we preached about that and so forth. And he said, we must be bearing fruit. You know, if you don't bear fruit, he said, you know, every branch you mean that beareth not fruit and all of that, and my Father takes away and so forth. So how do we bear fruit, you know, along the subject of evangelism? Now, let me first define for us what evangelism is. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, you know, it is really very simple. It's declaring the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's beyond that. It's a whole package. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So we see all the things that evangelism entails. Now why are we on this subject matter right now? Because, well, you know, this was priority number one, you know, for the early church, you know, and, you know, it was priority number one, too, for us when we started this ministry, but somehow, you know, maybe we've let that slip and so forth. So we're getting back to that to make it priority number one. Is, you know, because Jesus said, you know, there is still room in my house, and my house must be filled. So we've got to do everything we can to bring in souls into the kingdom of God. Now, so we're going to define what evangelism is. It goes beyond just winning souls. It's soul winning. It's a lot of things which I'm going to define for you in a few minutes. And it's also discipleship and so forth. It's a whole package. So, let's start here. How do we do that? You know, how do we evangelize? You know, of course, evangelism is, you know, Jesus himself said it, go into all the world, you know, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that's in Mark chapter 15. He gave us that, and if you read it in verses 16 through the end, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that is one command that he gave and so forth. And so we all know this. And so that's in Mark chapter 16. I think I said 15, but it's Mark 16 verse 15. I had it reversed. Mark 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he told them. And verse 20 says, and they went everywhere. They went forth everywhere, you know, and so forth. The Lord walking with them. So I want you to notice the everywhere. In the early church, evangelism was a part of their daily lives. How many of you say amen? They didn't, you know, they didn't confine that to just special days of the month, you know, or on Saturdays when they have the outreach, or on once a month when they have this or the other. It was every day, you know, at the hour of prayer when they were going into, you know, into the, you know, temple to pray, Peter and John, right there, you know, Acts chapter 3 and so forth, you know, they, you know, had opportunity to heal the sick and witness to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did it. You know, everywhere they went, they just, you know, so the Bible says they went everywhere. You know, so take notice of that. Now, they didn't wait inside the temple, you know, which would be something like this, for the sinners to come to them, you know. But they went everywhere. How many of you understand that? They went everywhere. They didn't wait and say, okay, well, we'll go to church on Sunday and we'll just hope and pray that, you know, the Lord will bring souls. No, that's not the way they did it. They went everywhere, you know. So we see that that's what Jesus told them. Now, here are some key concepts of evangelism. And to make it easy, I have everything that I'm going to talk about starts with the letter P, as in Paul. You know, he was somebody that knew how to do this. You know, so, you know, we'll find out something, you know, about him. You know, if you really read the scriptures, you'll see, you know, he laid out, you know, a pattern there that he did this thing. You know, he went, you know, and also the apostles, I mean the disciples, they did all that. So, you know, everything, you know, the next few things I'm going to tell you all start with the letter P, just like Paul. So you can use that to remember. The first thing is presence. I want you to write that down. Presence. Now, you say presence? Yes. Presence means make your presence to be known. And we're talking about how do you evangelize. So the first thing is your presence. You know, make your presence to be known. Now, don't be a closet Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, can I get an amen in here?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16. It says that, in fact, we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. If the salt loses its flavor, it's no good. If the light stops shining, it's no good. Now, you are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men. So that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. So you must make your presence to be felt. You cannot light a candle and put it under the bushel. You know, you have to light it, put it up, so, you know, give light to everybody. So don't be a closet Christian, make your presence to be felt. Don't be a secret service agent. Many Christians are secret service agents. You know, they just stealth, you know, nobody can know who they are and so forth like that. No, let your light shine. Don't be no secret service agent as a Christian. Let your light shine. Let everybody know that you're a Christian, and you're a believer. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that's the easiest way to start, as far as I know, the easiest way to start, you know, a conversation, you know, I mean, to start an attempt to win somebody to the Lord, is right away let them know who you are. See? Now, that may run off some folks, but whatever, you know, just, you know, let them know who you are, you know. So, you know, you just tell them, you know, who you are, you know, in your schools, let everybody know that you are a believer. When you go to school, when you come back to school, I know some of you might be on vacation right now, but let's say you come back to school on a Monday and so forth like that. You know, people like to talk about what they did in the weekends. You know, you talk about what you did in church. Talk about the miracle that the Lord did or something, you know. You talk about the Lord and so forth like that. You know, when you do, some of the others that are hiding might come out as well. I say, wow, I didn't know you were a believer. You know, and then they'll come out and next thing you know, you know, your light begins to shine and so forth like that. So, make your presence felt. So that's the first P. Of course, you know, I told you that priority number one is what evangelism is. So really, the first P is priority number one. But here is the second P, which is the presence, which I told you. I have about seven P's right here that I'm going to mention. So really, number one was to make evangelism priority number one. That's the first P. The second one is the presence, which I just talked about. Now, so you let your presence be known. And the next thing is P, proclamation. Proclaim the gospel. And why do we need to do that? In Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 and 17, it lays it all out. It says, well, you know, how can they know about God except there be a preacher? You know, and how can they preach except they be sent? Well, we've already been sent. Jesus said that already. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So, let's turn quickly to Romans chapter 10 and take that scripture down and see what, and then verse 14 and verse 17. Actually, you can read 14 through 17 and you'll see it all. And it's right there. And he explained that people cannot hear the gospel unless we are preaching it and so forth. You know, so, and also, you know, they cannot believe, you know, anything unless they hear about it, you know, so because faith comes by hearing. So you can read all of that in Romans 10, 14 through 17, but especially verses 14 and 17. Now, Jesus himself said, because this verse in Romans 10 tells us, how can they preach except they be sent? Well, you say, well, I'm not sent. Well, no, we are sent. John chapter 20 and verse 21. John chapter 20 and 21. As my, you know, he said, peace be unto you, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So we are already sent. And of course, you know, people talk about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus told them, you know, go into all the world and so forth. You know, and we also read it in Mark. So if you're writing all these scriptures down, you know, it's there. In the last chapter of Matthew, which is Matthew 28, it's also there. You know, he said, you know, verse 19 of Matthew 28, go into all the world and teach the nations and so forth. So he did send. So we are already sent. Now, so we must proclaim the gospel. That's proclamation. So it's not just, you know, make your presence known, but also you have to verbalize, you know, so we have to verbalize the gospel and so forth. But in proclaiming the gospel, we want to make sure that, you know, what we are doing is not just intellect and just in the, you know, human knowledge and speech and so forth, because that's not going to get the job done. It's the way the gospel works is not only we preach, but we also have to heal the sick and do all these signs and wonders, because that's how it was in the early church. The Lord worked with them, following them with signs and wonders. So let's read some of that real quickly. Let's see what Jesus himself did. We've already read, you know, the apostles went and so forth. Luke chapter 9 and verse 11. This is how Jesus preached the gospel. And he said, as my Father has sent me, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Matthew chapter 9 is what I want to read. Matthew chapter 9, I had the wrong verse here. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 is what I wanted to read. Matthew 9 and verse 35. So it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues and everything, you know, and so forth, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. So the preaching of the gospel and the healing, you know, went together. You know, so that's, you know, that's the way that Jesus did it, and that's the way that he wants us to do it. You know, not just, you know, we preach the gospel. You know, we proclaim the gospel, we're talking about proclamation, but we must also, you know, accompany that with you know, signs and wonders. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 4, it says, 'For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.' So it's not just, you know, we preach the gospel, but there will be power. And we're going to talk about some practical applications of that, you know, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow night, I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but in this series we're going to talk about that. You know, how do we do that? You know, in our culture, in our environment, and so forth like that. You know, how are we going to be able to proclaim not only the gospel, but also, you know, have opportunities, you know, to show the power of God, you know, among the people, you know, and so forth like that. So that's one thing that we're going to be looking at in this series. Now, the next P that I want to talk about is persuasion. You know, now, that's closing the deal, if you want to put it that way. And we're going to talk about that in this series. You know, some people don't know how to close a deal, you know. It's one thing just to witness to people casually and so forth like that. But it's another thing to lead them to Christ, to persuade them, you know. Now, I don't mean you take a stick, beat them over the head, you know, but, you know, there's an art of persuasion in our evangelism and soul winning, and we're going to show how that is. Now, Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. When Paul was before Agrippa and so forth like that, and he was saying all of those things, recounting all the things how the Lord called him and so forth and everything, and, you know, some of that, Agrippa said, "Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian." Now that's Acts 26 and 28. You know, that's, so that's the, you know, Paul was very persuasive. You know, the Bible says even he went reasoning in the, you know, churches and so forth like that, and, you know, persuading them concerning the things of the kingdom of God and so forth. So he was persuasive. He knew how to persuade, you know, and try to get the people. And even, you know, when he appeared before this, this celebrity king or chief or whatever his title was in those days, you know, I mean, he kept on saying it, and finally the man said, "Wow, you almost persuade me to be a Christian." Now that's Acts 26 and verse 28. And King Agrippa, so he was a king, you know. So Paul asked him, say, "King Agrippa." Now look at the technique that Paul used here. That's Acts 26 and verse 27. Acts 26 and verse 27 and 28. You know, after Paul said all those things and so forth, say, "Look, you know, I'm persuaded, you know, that none of these things, you know, are hidden from," he talked about even, you know, Festus and so forth, you know, and he was just, you know, appealing to their, you know, to their inner mind, you know, and so forth. So finally he turned to Agrippa and said, "Look, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know that you believe." See? Now he didn't even give him a chance to say, "I don't believe." You know, he told him, "Well, you know, do you believe?" Say, "Yeah, I know you believe." See? "I know you believe." Amen? Yeah. Are you understanding something? See? You know, he appealed to his inner sense in there. "I know you believe the prophets. I know you believe." See? And the man said, "Boy," you know, he said, "Wow, you are almost winning me over already." See? So you got to know, you know, there's different techniques. I can't go into all of it tonight because I'm laying a foundation tonight. I'm going to go into some of it in more depth tomorrow. You know, but it's different techniques of how you can persuade the people and, you know, so forth like that. So there is persuasion. So we've covered the priority number one, you make your presence known, proclaim the gospel, the persuasion. And then the next thing we're going to cover, before I go to the next one, let me read also in this chapter of Acts 26, verse 18. Go back a few verses, the same Acts 26 and verse 18. And let's see what must be in your mind when you're trying to persuade people and help people to understand the gospel. This is what must be in your mind. You know, this is what we do, you know, when we try to win people over, you know. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Now, this is what the Lord, this is the errand he gave to Paul. He said, "Well, you know, this, you know, I'm going to send you, raise you up for a purpose to do these things and so forth. To open their eyes, that's one. To turn them." So you must recognize that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And your job is to open their eyes. That's your first job. See, when you open their eyes, you're also to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to the power of God. Now that's the part we're going to focus on, that part of the power of Satan to the power of God. We're going to focus on that maybe at the end of this tonight or tomorrow. You know, how you can go out in the schools and the workplaces and the neighborhoods and so forth and turn people from the power of God, power of Satan to the power of God. You know, how you can use what's already in you, you know, to persuade people to be reconciled to God, you know, by, you know, praying for their needs and doing some of these things and delivering them out of the power of Satan into the kingdom of God. And then, you know, see how, you know, that will, because that's what the apostles did, you know, and saw, you know, a lame person, they healed him. When they saw somebody that was sick, healed them. And they did all of these things and so forth. And that gets people's attention very quickly. You know, so delivering them from the power of Satan, you know, why do we do all of these things? You know, the bottom line is so that they might receive forgiveness of sins. Now, all of these things lead them back to the cross. See, so forgiveness of sins, and so that they might come into the kingdom of God, become part of God's family, and inherit together with the saints, you know, the kingdom of light. So that's all the things that you must bear in mind when you're trying to do this. You want to open their eyes. Now, there's different ways of how we do that, you know, and so forth like that. And God holds the answer to every soul. And He knows what needs to be said. He knows what needs to be done. You know, we're going to lay some general principles, you know, but you always also have to still rely on the Holy Spirit, because He knows, you know, He might lead you to say something that is going to touch somebody, you know, because He'll just show you something to say, and that's going to touch somebody. So we're going to also touch on that, you know, even though we are bringing out this series and so forth like that, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, we're just going to base it on all these things. No, this is also part, you know, we're also going to talk about, you got to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, why are we teaching this series? You say, well, you know, you say you're going back to the apostles and the early church. But, you know, they didn't sit around and just, sure they did. Jesus taught them for 3.5 years. You know? You can't get away from the teaching. Amen?
Amen.
We need the teaching. We need to know how to do these things and so forth. So we're going to try to bring it out, you know, from the scriptures and so forth. So, but we must rely on the power of the Lord. Now, our part is to sow the seed. It is God that gives the increase. How many of you say amen to that? That's right. You know, we cannot deliver anybody from the power of darkness, but we represent. Everybody say represent. That's right. We represent a person that is able to deliver them. And as an ambassador for Christ, you go in there and say, look, you know, represent Jesus Christ. So I don't want to jump ahead of you know, the teaching, but we're going to get into that on how we can do all of that. So now the next P I want to talk about. Remember, we're just using these P's just so you remember, you know, make it easy for people to remember, even for young people, everybody to remember, you know. So because Paul, his name starts with P, so we chose some of these things and so forth. Now, the next thing is planting. But it's not planting of the seed, you know, like you would think. You know, we already did that, you know. But it's planting of the believer, see, in a gospel church. You know, so you can't just, you know, if you persuade them and lead them to Christ and so forth, and we're going to show how to do that later on. You can't just leave them alone and so forth. You've got to plant them in the church somewhere, you know. A good gospel church would be GMI church. That's right. You know, so invite them to church, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so the way they did it in the early church is, you know, they did it that way, or they even planted a church among new believers. You know, we covered that about 2 weeks ago or so in the church, where Paul went everywhere and so forth and gathered the disciples together, and they, you know, you know, that's a little bit different from one-on-one. The one-on-one is you invite them and make sure that they go into a gospel church where they can be discipled. We're going to get to that in a minute. You know. Then, you know, that's one side. But if we're doing, like, evangelism, mass crusades and so forth, like when we went to the Philippines and so forth, we had a lot of souls saved in one town and so forth, one small township and all that. There were so many, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And we planted a church there, you know, and so forth. And the last I heard, they're doing very well. They're growing by leaps and bounds. You know, every week I, you know, talk to them and so forth like that. And they are moving ahead. And in fact, they are getting on the website, on our website, looking at, you know, some of the things that we're doing, looking at some of the messages and so forth. And they're using those things and so forth. And they're bringing the people up. You know, and they are moving and they are growing and so forth. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So, you know, make sure the believer is planted in the church or whatever. So that's the, you know, the planting. That's not exactly the planting of a seed. You can say it's a planting of a seed, but we already covered that in the proclamation of the gospel. When you proclaim the gospel, you're sowing, you're really sowing the seed. You're planting the seed there too as well. And you're trusting God to water it and bring it to fruition. So you got to make sure that they go on, you know, for discipleship and all that. That's very important. Now, the next one is, you know, I'm really going to talk about the discipleship aspect, but because I'm just trying to use the letter P for everything, we're going to call it perfection or perfecting of the saints. You know, the Bible says that, you know, spiritual maturity in the Bible is actually referred to as perfection. Say, for the perfecting of the saints. You know, you can read that in the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 4. If you want to mark that down and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we can read quickly in verses 11 and on. He gave some apostles and some pastors and some evangelists and some, you know, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So that perfection there is actually discipleship. You know, you have to become, you know, become like Christ and so forth like that. You can't leave new believers. And the same thing with, you know, some of you who are here, if you are a young believer yourself, the Bible says you've got to desire that, you know, milk of the word as newborn babes. You can't, if you don't listen to the word of God, you know, how are you going to grow, you know, and so forth like that, you know. So, you got to listen to the word of God, you know, and for the young people and all that, you got to listen to the word of God. You got to listen to these messages and so forth like that. You can't, you know, come to church and do one part of the church and don't listen to the message. The messages are very important. These are the things that help us to grow. And it says, you know, the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry and all of that. So the perfection part is the discipleship and, you know, how they go on to perfection. Now, why are we calling discipleship going on to perfection? Well, because there's no other way that you can do it. You know, you got to be taught, you know, the word and so forth like that. So I'm going to give you a scripture for that in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, I'm going to give you a scripture for that. So if you want to mark that down, go ahead and mark it down. And I'm going to read that Luke 6 and 40 for you here. So mark down your scriptures. Here's what it says. It says that the disciple is not above his master. So, he's talking about discipleship. You know. But he says that, you know, but every disciple, everyone that is perfect, shall be as his master. So, the discipleship is what brings us into perfection. How many of you understand that from this scripture? Right. The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So while he's being discipled, he's becoming more and more perfect. See? And when he's finally perfect, I mean, he's working on that perfection through discipleship, he'll be like his master. And the goal that we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, is perfecting of the saints until we come to the fullness. See, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until, you know, during that discipleship and you become like the master, then you are perfect. That's what Luke chapter 6 and verse 40 says. So you can't do it any other way than that. So discipleship is very important. Not only for the new people that we are bringing in, for yourselves also, you know, you've got to be disciple, you've got to be taught these things and so forth. Now, it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. This is this verse I referred to a while ago. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You see? So, that goes for young people, young in the faith, and so forth like that. And anybody, too. Especially when they're young in the faith. You know, if you bring somebody to Christ and so forth, they must be taught the word of God. You can't just preach to them and leave them alone and hope that everything is going to be fine. No. Because the evil one is going to come and try to pluck that seed from their hearts unless we follow it up with discipleship. So that's why we get them into a Bible-believing, gospel-believing church like this church. You bring them in and, you know, we disciple them. Now, which brings me, you know, to a point that I need to bring out. Now, no church can really grow without these things that we're talking about. See, evangelism, soul winning, and so forth. That's what makes the church grow. But the church cannot grow either without studying the word, you know, the Bible study, and so forth like that. Now, I know that on Sundays we have these services, you know, but sometimes because the services are mixed, you know, we have the mixed crowd and so forth. Sometimes we preach some lift our up message. Sometimes we preach things that can provoke us and so forth like that and all that. But we must have Bible study. You know, so we're going to be talking about that in times coming. And services like this, where we teach the word, and where people take notes and we go into some practical things. We're going to be talking about that coming up shortly. That we're going to have that because that's the only way that we can grow in the Lord. It says, desire the milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You're not going to grow as a person. You're going to have stunted spiritual growth if you're not studying the word and so forth. And as a church also, we have to be teaching that word, you know, and so forth like that. So, you know, there's a difference between the Sunday service, which is worship service, kind of sometimes evangelistic and different things and so forth. But then there's, you know, we have to have the teaching, you know, and so forth. We have to have time that we can teach the word of God and show the practical applications like we're doing tonight and we'll be doing tomorrow night. Can everybody say amen? Now, the next thing we want to talk about is the last of the P's. I'm going to go over them in a minute for you, for those of you who are writing it down, and everybody really should be writing it down, is participation. This is the one that completes the process. You know, this what we're describing is the process of evangelism. We started with, first you got to recognize that it's priority number one. And then we went through all of these things. We went through priority number one, then we show your presence and so forth, proclaim the gospel, you know, learn the art of persuasion, you know, plant them in a church, you know, and so forth like that. You know, make sure they go to church and so forth. And then there is the perfection, which is the discipleship, which comes as a result of the planting and all that. Then the participation is the new believer must themselves, you know, turn around, you know, and become soul winners. See? Because that completes the process. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. You know, so, and the way it works is one person, you know, win somebody, and then the other one wins somebody, and so forth. You know, that's how it works. Andrew first findeth his brother Peter, and Peter and all of that, and you know, all the things that Peter did. So, how does this work then? You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. See, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able also to teach others. You know, so it's like a chain thing. You know, one, you know, the first Paul taught Timothy, and he's asking Timothy to teach somebody else, and that person teach somebody else, and so forth like that. So that's how the growth goes. You know, so, you know, the, you know, that completes the cycle. So for those of you who have been born again, and everybody in here tonight is born again, I hope, you know, and you have received that Holy Spirit in your life, and you want to do something for the Lord, and you want to grow in the Lord and so forth. That's, you know, one time Jesus, he looked at one man, he said, Lord, what shall I do and so forth, inherit the kingdom of God? And the Lord said, do this and do that and do the other, you know. And then he said, well, I've done all these things, you know, from my youth up. And the Bible said the Lord looked at him and he loved him and said, wow, good job. Now one thing is lacking, Jesus told him. So the one thing that is lacking for many of us is this evangelism, this personal evangelism. You know, many of us come to church, you know, we do all of these things and so forth, but we don't know how to be a personal evangelist. And I've told you before, not everybody is called to be, you know, evangelist in the office of an evangelist, you know, but all of us can do the work of an evangelist, you know, and then we can be soul winners. So this process, you come to church, you know, and do all of these things in church on Sundays and so forth like that, that's good. But the process is not complete until you yourself, you're winning souls, and then the souls you win, you take them through this whole process, and you teach them how to also become soul winners. And it goes on and on and on and on like that. So it's like, you know, a chain reaction. One person wins one person. And then all of a sudden you have two. And each of those two, you know, win one more. You know, then you could have four. And if those four win one each, then you have eight. And then it goes on and on like that. And the next thing you know, this thing just multiplies. And the person that started winning can still keep winning, you know. So, you know, it just, that's how the church grows. And all you got to win is just one soul to start. You don't need to win 20,000 souls, you know. Just win one. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just win one soul. You know, just start with one soul. So we're getting down to the practicals of how we do that. How do we win one soul? You know, now for those of us who, you know, have the privilege of taking the gospel to the nations, like we did to Philippines, and we'll be going to Tanzania shortly and so forth like that, we're working on that. You know, we have the opportunity to win, you know, hundreds of souls in one night. And we've been told that, you know, in Tanzania outreach that's coming up in a few months, you know, we are looking for about 200,000 to 500,000, you know, could be in those events. So that's a huge thing. And, you know, I'm getting myself ready for that and so forth. So we have the opportunity to win literally thousands of souls in one night. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the personal. See, because Jesus, you know, he went to villages and so forth like that. But he also did the personal and all that. You know, sometimes he preached to thousands of people. Remember one time he preached to 5,000 people, and at the end he said, well, you know, they need to eat, and so forth. And they said, well, we don't have enough food and all that. You know the story. 5,000 people, 4,000, and so forth. So he preached to thousands. But he also preached to, in John chapter 4, one woman at the well. How many of you know that's true? You know, so thousands of souls, but also one soul. So we're talking about the, but we're not talking about the thousands of souls tonight and the huge evangelism. We're talking about the personal evangelism. How you start and see it through. See? And get that soul saved and get them discipled and turn them also into a soul winner. That's the complete process. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just witness to somebody and you go about their business. We're going to learn the art of persuasion. We're going to learn how to actually bring them to salvation. See? I mean, it's one thing to witness to people and so forth like that, but it's another thing to, you know, persuade them to become believers. And there is a way to do all of these things and so forth. So we're going to, you know, see some things from the scriptures and learn how we may do some of this. Now, so, remember what the Lord said to them at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Write that down also. The first pronunciation out of the mouth of God to man were these words. Be fruitful and multiply. That's the first thing that he ever said to man. How many of you know that's true? It's right there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. The first thing he said to them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. I mean, why didn't he say some other things? He could have said anything he wanted. But that's the first thing that he said, is be fruitful and multiply. Well, you know, some people have said that that means for them to, you know, fill up the earth. No, that's not what it means. Let's read it in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Now, this is Bible study tonight. So let's read it. Genesis 1. Now, the Bible makes very good use of punctuations and so forth. You know, so you take note of the punctuations, you know, when you are reading these things. And God blessed them. See? Let me start at verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So when he created Adam, Adam was already male and female on the inside. And God was going to, you know, bring Eve out of him. And God blessed them, and God said unto them. Now that's the first thing that he said unto them. Be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth. So you know, replenishing the earth was not necessarily the fruitful and the multiply part. You know, that's just one more thing that he said. See? So the first thing is be fruitful. Well, fruitful in what? He didn't say. Multiply. How? He didn't say. You know, remember, Adam was a spiritual being, but he fell from that spirit realm and became just a carnal being, you know, because he disobeyed God. So God, what he had, I can't go into that tonight, but it's a lot deeper than that. What he had in mind was way beyond, you know, just procreation of, you know, just, you know, this. And even then, if it is that, see, what God wanted to bring out of all of that was not just, you know, a bunch of sinners, you know, that Adam would produce. What good is that to God? What he wanted was people in his image. And we've preached on that several times in this church. God wanted to reproduce himself. See? Through man. That's why he said, in his image. So, their goal, their first goal in life, was to be fruitful and to multiply and help God fulfill that vision of bringing forth people in God's image. How many of you say amen? Not just give birth to a bunch of, you know, kids and so forth, but bring forth people in the image of God. Because that was his vision. See, make man in his own image and so forth like that. You know, be fruitful and multiply. So he wanted to bring them forth to do that and so forth. And of course he told them some other things, but that's the first thing he told them. So bear that in mind, that that's what God wants you to do. You know, and if we had, if Adam had followed through on this, what we would have had was a generation that you could call, instead of mankind, you probably would have been able to call it God kind or Christ kind, because that's what he really wanted to produce. You know, but through unbelief and sin and disobedience, you know, all this stuff came into the world. You know, and what we have today is God had to do away with that. So it was all carnal. So he brought forth the new man, Christ. You know, and he said we are now created in Christ after righteousness and so forth. So that's the new lineage. We've preached on that in this church before. That's not my subject tonight. That's the new lineage. So they will now come into the image of Christ, he being the blueprint. But that was the purpose that he brought Adam forth, was to do that. See, so, and for Adam to help him to do that. But they failed. So we got to fulfill that vision, is we have to bring people, you know, to the image of Christ. We ourselves must come into the image of Christ. And then bring others into the image of Christ. Until we all come, you know, to the measure of the stature of his fullness. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
So that completes the cycle. You know, you start from the beginning and you disciple them and so forth. And then you make them also fishers of men. You know, and then you apply that in your own life too. So if you've been saved and you've gone through all of these things and so forth, and you are not a fisher of men, you know, then something is missing. Just like Jesus said to that young man, say, yet thou lackest one thing. So you are lacking one thing tonight if you are not doing that. Now, you may be doing wonderful things in the church, you know, but if you are not a fisher of men, you know, that is not a ministry that some select people have. You know, so you say, oh, my gift is singing. No, that has nothing to do with being a fisher of men. Oh, my gift is whatever. You know, no. We must all be fishers of men in addition to whatever else you think your gift is. Because that is the priority number one. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now, I'm going to close this with a few scriptures. Now, tonight was a foundation. Tomorrow we are going to go into some in-depth. We're going to take an in-depth analysis of some of these things. How do we really do some of these things that we talked about tonight? You know, so John chapter 15 and verse 16. Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bear much fruit. So I want us to consider that scripture and take a look and analyze that scripture and see all the things that Jesus is talking in that one verse. Now that's John chapter 15. In that one verse, let's see all the things that Jesus is talking about. Ye have not chosen me. Jesus said that. But I have chosen you. Well, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, who's going to be saved is going to be saved, and who's going to be lost is going to be lost. Maybe so. But you don't know that. Amen? Does everybody agree? You don't know that. Only God knows that. And I've said that before. I'm going to explain it again. See, the gospel is like this door behind me. See? On the one hand, in the front like this, which everybody is looking at, he says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I mean, that's the most important word in the gospel, is whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John chapter 3 and verse 16, that whosoever believeth in him. That's the most important word in the gospel. It's whosoever. Well, but, you know, you say, well, but they cannot come except the Father draw them. Well, we know that. But how does he draw them? Through the gospel. That's right. Because how can they hear except there be a preacher? So that's how he draws them. Now, so they, you know, the Bible says, you know, in the front, whosoever will let him come through this door and take the water of life freely. You know, I believe that's Revelation 22 and verse 17 or whatever, you know, but John 3:16, he talks about that. No, come. You know, come and believe. And whosoever will believe, you know, will receive eternal life. So that word, whosoever, is very important in the gospel. He says it in so many places. You know, that's Revelation 22 and verse 17. And let him that is athirst come. So he writes on the door, let him that is athirst come. And let, you know, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's also in John 3:16. The same concept, not the same words, but the same concept where it says, you know, he that believeth and so forth. Also, this whosoever, this word that is so important, is also in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm going to give everybody an assignment tonight, because this is like a class. You know, so, you know, be sure that you're paying attention, because, you know, when you come back tomorrow, and don't run away because of the assignment. When you come back tomorrow, I might give you a quiz. You know, so whosoever. So tomorrow I might ask you, you know, what is that word that is so important in the gospel that we stressed so much yesterday? And if you are paying attention, I already told you the answer. You know, but I might ask you tomorrow. That word is whosoever. You know, so it says on the door, whosoever, right? Now, but on the other side of the door, which nobody knows, because we've not been on the other side, see, yet, you know, when we get there. But in a way, those of us who have crossed over into the kingdom are already on the other side, see. So, you know, because he that believeth on him hath eternal life. Now, we already have it. So in a way, we're already there. But on the other side, what it says behind the door is, when you get there, and you look back, it says, you have been chosen. You are being elected. Amen? Yeah. But on this, on the front, it says, whosoever will. So that's the way the gospel is. You know, it's whosoever will. So we don't know, you know, who's going to come in, but we are to draw them with the gospel. You have to be a fisherman. And one thing about fishermen is you got to learn how to fish. So that's the part that we're going to cover tomorrow. Got to learn how to fish. You can't catch anything if you fish at the wrong time, it's the wrong season, or you use the wrong bait. And if the fish are not hungry, they're not going to eat. So that's where the Holy Ghost comes in and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, but here's all the elements of the things that Jesus said in John 15. Let me quickly go back to that. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So Jesus is the one that does the choosing, but we don't know who he has chosen or who he hasn't. So we just tell it to everybody. You know, we believe with all our hearts that, you know, the Lord's going to save them. So, yeah, and, you know, here's the other thing he said. And I have chosen you that you should go and bring forth fruit. See, I have chosen you and ordained you. That's your ordination right there. You don't have to go to any seminary to be ordained. He's already ordained you. I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. See? So there are so many elements in that one key verse that Jesus spoke about. Now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again tonight. Now, Jesus does not call qualified people. You say Jesus doesn't call qualified people? No. I mean, the Bible said they were fishermen and so forth. In fact, they took knowledge of them that they were ignorant men. And they said, wow, these people are ignorant men. So they took knowledge that they have been with Jesus. That's what the Bible said. You know, so he doesn't necessarily call qualified people, but he qualifies the people that he calls. How many of you understand the difference? You see, this is your qualification right here. He said, I have chosen you and I have ordained you. So tomorrow, I may ask you, what is that saying that I said about calling and qualification? So, I may ask you that tomorrow. It is that Jesus doesn't call qualified people, but he qualifies the people that he calls. Amen? Yeah. And your qualification is your calling. And your certification, you know, you say, oh, get this certificate that you are this and that. Your certification is the anointing that you have received. 1 John chapter 2. And 27. The anointing is your certification. The anointing is what certifies you, because it will back up the word. And it will show that you are the genuine article. When you preach that word to people, he'll back it up. See, it's his word and he sent you, so he'll back it up. You know, all you got to do is preach, you know, and so forth like that. So, you know, all of this is for his glory. It is not for any man's glory. God is doing it himself, and he's the one that should say, you, I'm the one that chose you, I'm the one that sent you to do all of these things, and the purpose is that you should bring forth fruit. That's the purpose that he chose you. It's right here. It's not just to come to church. His purpose is for you to bring forth fruit, and not only small fruit, much fruit. Not just you save one person in your life, you know, and then you're done. No. Win as many people as you can to the Lord, because he said much fruit. And not only that, that your fruit should remain. So you have to carry them through this whole process. Bring them to church, get them discipled and so forth. Turn them also into fishermen. When you do all of that, then the Lord says, whatsoever you will ask in the Father in my name, that he may give it to you when you are doing all these kind of things. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
When you are a soul winner, when soul winning and a personal evangelist is priority number one in your life, then you can ask the Father whatsoever you will, and he will give it to you. You know, so now let me quickly give you the rest of these verses. I'm going to finish here in about 10 minutes. This was the reason why I wanted to start early, because it's a teaching night, so I wanted to take the time to go through this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, I may ask you about this one also tomorrow. Some of these verses that I'm saying, I may ask you about, those are your assignments for tomorrow, because everybody should be writing this down, so I may throw out a quiz and say, where is this scripture and where is that scripture and so forth like that. And then you should know where it is. I may also ask you what it means. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me read from verse 26. Now, when I talk to you about qualified people and so forth, you say, oh, you know, where is that in the scripture? Or right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not the qualified people after the flesh are called. See, not the mighty, not the noble are called. You know, that's just right there. You know, God doesn't call all that stuff, you know. But what he does is he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen? And he has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world. So he takes fishermen, ordinary people that don't have much knowledge about nothing, you know, and he uses them to confound the whole world, turn the whole world upside down. And he takes the base things of this world and the things that are despised, those that have God chosen, and yea, the things, you know, nothing, you know, the things that are not, that's what he has chosen to bring to naught the things that are, you know. So God, you know, don't you worry about how he's going to save his souls. You just step out, and he's going to do it. And the reason he does it that way is so that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29. No flesh should glory in his presence. And he said to Joshua, in Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you? Therefore be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So wherever you are going now, Jesus himself said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And, you know, finally, the song we sang from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So you've got to recognize that it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, this next set of scriptures that I'm going to give will be what will be our prayer topics. Tonight, when you go home, I want you to pray about these things. And we're going to discuss this tomorrow. This is the general assignment. Now, I may also throw out a pop quiz or any kind of a thing tomorrow about any of the things that we've talked about tonight, just to make sure that you were paying attention or you went over your notes. So you go over your notes tonight. But here is the assignment for tomorrow. The prayer topics. The importance of prayer in evangelism. Here are the assignments. Here are the scriptures I want you to read. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Now, I'm not going to say what's in there. That's your assignment. Read it for tomorrow. I call on anybody. You have to be able to tell us what's there without looking at the Bible. And I call on you tomorrow. So that's one assignment. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Then in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. That's another one you have to read, and you tell us what it's about, you know, when I call on you tomorrow. Tell us what Luke 10:2 is all about. Tell us what Acts 4:29 to 31 is about. Then Colossians. That's Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. So this is an assignment for everybody to read and know what's in those scriptures. Because we're going to take off from there tomorrow. And then we're going to go into some practical applications of how you do some of these steps that we laid out. Our priority number one is evangelism, the presence, the proclamation, the persuasion, the planting, the perfection, and the participation. And I may ask any of the young people here tomorrow, tell me what all those P's are. I laid out about 7 of them there. So you must know all of that. And then these verses that I gave out, everybody should learn these verses. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now, here's a quick assignment for anybody here. Right now, on the spot. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved. That's why I gave you all the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved, right? Unto God, not unto man. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to know all this. You got to study these things and know them, you know, and so forth. So, where is that scripture? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, Manny. 1 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. So let's read it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. It says, what is it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study these things so that you can be approved unto God. Not, you know, even though I'm the one that's going to quiz you tomorrow, you know, it's just somebody has to do it. But it's really God's approval that you are seeking when you study. How many of you understand that from this verse? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Praise God. Now, when we are done with these teachings, it may not be this week. We may continue later on. And if I don't cover all the things that I need, we may turn one of the Bible or prayer meetings on Wednesday into a Bible study or whatever. And I'm going to invite everybody to come to that when we do that. And just try to go through all of these things, make sure that we are all ready. And some of the things that are going to come out of this is memory verses. You know, so you got to be prepared to learn the scriptures, study them, know where they are in the Bible. Some of these last scriptures that I gave as assignments will be memory verses. So you got to learn all those scriptures, you know, and commit them to memory. And when you learn a memory verse, what you're doing is you learn, you know, the content of the verse, but you also learn the reference. You know, so like this one we just read, if I say where is that scripture and you quote it, you have to quote also the place where it is. This is the reference. So you say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says 2 Timothy 2:15. So not only you know, and I'll tell you later why that's important in soul winning and evangelism. You know, you will find out that later. You know, but it's important to know where these things are in the scriptures. See, you know, because just knowing it is one thing, but knowing where it is another. Because somebody may ask you, you know, where is that in the Bible and so forth. Then you start fumbling, and then you look like, you know, a fool, you know, or you look like you don't know what you're doing. So, you know, we're going to practice with many memory verses and so forth like that. And you find out that your memory is actually very good. If you, you know, maybe you haven't done it, but you'll find out that your memory is a lot better than what you think. You know, when you start learning this, the Bible verses, they stay with you. Some of the Bible verses that I know, and I know a lot. I learned them when I was a kid, and I haven't forgotten them since. Well, in my own case, it seems as if I have selective memory anyway. So I seem to remember the scriptures more than I remember anything else. But I don't forget anything that I read in this Bible. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Well, I'm going to make Bible students out of many of you. You're going to know these scriptures. We're going to make soul winners. We're going to make fishers of men. And all of these things. Now, how many of you enjoyed that? Let's give the Lord a hand clap if you did. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's a little bit different because, you know, we're doing the series and it's a teaching and so forth. So, go over your notes and all of that. Now, at the end of this series, I'm going to make an announcement now, and I'm going to make it every day of this series, and we'll make it again on Sunday, and so forth. For the benefit of you who are here today, since you are part of this, we are going to start, I am starting a new challenge for everybody. Now, remember, we have a Soul Winners Action Team. That's one of our ministries, which not too many people have been participating in that. Well, we're going to bring that to the forefront again, because that's the key thing that we want this church to be about. Soul winning. So the SWAT team, you know, so I'm going to tell you a challenge that I'm going to throw out on that tonight. I'm going to tell you again tomorrow, and we're going to announce it on Sunday, and then we're going to implement it sometime, you know, as part of this training. Now, SWAT stands for Soul Winners Action Team. And so we're going to make that the elite team, if you want, like the special forces. You know, the military, they have special forces. In the Navy, they have the Navy SEALs. And in the Army, they have the Green Beret or whatever it is. You know, the special forces, they're like, you know, the special, the elite. You know, they know how to get the job done. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So that's what we're going to do with this Soul Winners Action Team. In fact, this is a Soul Winners Action Team class right here. You know, and we're going to make, you know, professionals, if you want to put it that way. You know, you're going to know how to do these things, you know. I mean, there is no reason why we shouldn't know these things. And we'll go to school for all kinds of things, you know. So why shouldn't we know these things? So we will know how to do these things. Now, the challenge is this. Write this down. It's called the SWOT 7 in 7 Challenge. That's SWAT, S-W-A-T, for Soul Winners Action Team, 7 in 7 Challenge. And I'm going to be explaining that every night of this meeting and then also on Sunday. And we're going to be announcing it every service now so that people understand it. What is that? Well, you'll be the first to hear it tonight since you are here. What it is this. We're going to encourage everybody to participate in the SWAT team. And that's Soul Winners Action Team, 7 in 7. And what we're going to be doing is every month, we're going to do the first 7 days of the month. That's why it's 7. It's going to be a challenge. And remember, this is almost the end of the month. So it's going to start in June. So we're going to throw out this challenge, 7 souls in 7 days. I don't know if you say amen to that. It's a little practice, and we're going to try to do it. You know, you're going to, if you want to take that challenge, and I'm going to encourage everyone to take that challenge, you have to go after 7 souls in 7 days. Now, it's only the first 7 days of the month. You know, so it's 1 day, it's, you know, 1 day, 1 soul. So you got to make sure you witness to somebody, win somebody over, 7 days a month. I mean, first 7 days. You know, and so that's a challenge, and I'll be reminding us of it every day throughout these meetings and then next week and so forth. So write that down. So if I ask you tomorrow, what is the SWOT 7 in 7? You must be able to explain what it is. We're going to try that. You know, now it's a way to get us motivated and get us to do something. Now if you have a goal that you're trying to accomplish, sometimes you can be effective. If you don't have a goal, you may not even be effective. You just, you know, and that's the reason why some people are so disorganized, because they don't have a goal. They don't have an idea of what they are going to do. They don't write down the things that they are going to do. So those are the things. Now, the next thing, the last thing I'm going to say tonight before we close, is this flip pads that you have, what you are going to do during the 7x7 or 7x7 challenge, is it will become your little, what do they call those things, journals or diary or whatever? Okay. So you've got to write it down. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. Now, that's going to be hard for some of you if you've never done it, you know, but don't worry about it. The Lord's going to give you the grace. The thing that matters is, are you going to be willing in the day of His power? Because the Bible says, in the day of your power, your people will be willing. So, day 1, you write it down. Who you witness to, and the conclusion of it. Now, if you're able to close the deal, that's even better, you know. But you write it down. Close the deal means get them saved. Day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and day 7. So, and then, at the end of the month, every month, we are also reinstating our consecration like this. We started it in the beginning, but somehow we got it, you know, missed it a few times. So, we're going to be having these monthly consecrations every month. So, maybe at the month end, we will have one day a month. It may not always be 3 days meeting. We'll have a day a month. We're going to reinstate our faith laboratory, is what we called it when we started, which is going to be practical. We're going to have one faith lab tomorrow night. We're going to show some, we're going to do some teachings and practical applications. That's what the faith lab is. And then we're going to go over, you know, the challenge and what you did and how well you did and so forth. Now, don't worry about it. It's not for show. It's not for anything. There's a reason for it. You know, it just helps get you motivated and helps get you going, especially if you've not been used to doing this kind of thing, you know, and so forth. So there's going to be an accountability, you know, trying to get people motivated to do this. So everybody needs some help, you know, in getting started. You know, so this is one way that we're going to get you started and so forth like that. Does everybody understand that, how it works? Okay, we'll talk about it again tomorrow. Praise ye the name of. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Praise Him. Let's do this. Come over here and do this song for us before we close. Let's close this out with a rally. I want to sing Open the Windows of Heaven and Let It Rain. You all know that song? Alright, so we're going to do that. Can we have the words up on the slide if we... Do we have it? We have it. Open the floodgates and let it rain. Can you put it up real quick? Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. It's really simple. And we're praying for rain. You know, let the Lord rain His passion into our souls. And let Him give us a plentiful harvest. That's what the rain is all about. Rain is always to bring forth harvest. So it's open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. And you guys can start it anytime.